Thank you, choir. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today, and it's my privilege and honor to be able to be with you, to be able to fellowship with you, and to be able to share the Word of God with you. If you would take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, that's where we'll be this morning. Luke chapter 24. You have a beautiful church here, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be able to come and to be able to worship with you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that this past Sunday we had the privilege and honor and responsibility to be able to celebrate as God's children by faith the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And folks, it's through the resurrection that we have hope, don't we? We know that our Lord Jesus has victory over death, hell, and the grave. And because we are His children by faith, we too have victory over death, hell, and the grave. In Luke chapter 24, we have a story that's a beautiful post-resurrection appearance by the Lord Jesus Christ to two of His followers, two of His disciples. And of course, these followers had heard rumors that Jesus had rose from the dead, but they didn't believe what they had heard. Have you ever been in a situation like that before? Where you have heard rumors of something, but you know, until you knew firsthand that it was an actual event that took place, you're skeptical. You're in doubt. And that's where these two followers of the Lord Jesus Christ were. They were discouraged because of the events, that everything that had unfolded. They were disappointed, for sure. And they were confused. Have you ever been there before? Absolutely, we all have. And in these two men's eyes, they were without hope. So they were headed back home. Everything that had transpired over the last few days had moved him to the point that where they were just ready to go back home and leave it all behind. So that's where I wanted to for us to pick up this morning in looking at this passage of Scripture. We're going to begin in verse number 13 of chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke. If you would stand, if you're able, in respect and honor of the Word of God. Verse number 13 says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or about seven and a half miles or so. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in word, or indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have delivered Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen also a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, and him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things they did that were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. May we pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for the terrible price that he paid on Calvary to redeem us of our sin. Father, we thank you for the resurrection, Lord, that gives us hope beyond what this world has to offer. As the Apostle Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in this passage of Scripture, Lord, as it is read, as it is preached, and as it is received into the hearts of these dear people this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I did want to draw your attention as really the theme of this message, and that is found in verse number 15, where it says, "Jesus himself drew near and went with them." So I've entitled this message, "Jesus himself drew near." Jesus himself drew near. And folks, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ specializes in ministering to hurting people, doesn't he? How many countless times has the Lord ministered to us in our hours of need? He specializes in those things, both physically as well as spiritually. Folks, that was part of Jesus' ministry as he ministered here upon this earth, and that is part of his ministry now as he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Even as the Lord Jesus was resurrected on Resurrection Sunday, that first day of the week, we know that he ministered to Mary Magdalene, who was hurting because of the death of her master. He was gone. We know that he ministered to Peter, who was hurting because he had denied his Lord. We know, and as we've read toward the end of this passage, that he appeared to 10 of his disciples who were hurting, who were confused, who were scared, hiding in the upper room. But he came to them and he ministered to them during their hour of need. And of course, the Gospel of John tells us that Jesus came and he also ministered to Thomas, who was doubting that all of these things truly did happen. So I wanted to begin looking at a few different points that bring out the fact that Jesus drew near, and appreciate these facts. And may they be an encouragement and a help to us as we go through difficult times and seasons of doubt and despair and confusion in our own lives. Let's begin looking in number one, the fact that Jesus drew near during a time of confusion. During a time of confusion. In verse number 13 and 14, notice what it says. "And behold, two of them," two of Jesus' disciples, "went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." So we know that these disciples were heading back in the direction toward home. They were in shock. They were in disbelief at what had happened in these events that had unfolded. I mean, Jesus was dead. In their eyes, there was nothing that was going to change that. There was nothing that they could do. So they were going back, quote unquote, to their normal life. But notice in the scriptures where it says that they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things? Well, the events of the past week. It's very possible that these two men could have been part of the triumphal infantry, the triumphal entry into the city, where they were there seeing the palm branches being laid down, hearing the people cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And of course, then there was the betrayal, the arrest, the conviction, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to them, Jesus was dead. And there's nothing that was going to change that. Everything that they had hoped in had now fallen apart. If you look at verse number 21, notice what it says. "But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel." You see, part of the triumphal entry into the city was the people were thinking Jesus was going to set up His kingdom right then and there. That He was going to basically remove them from the oppression of the Roman government. That He was going to establish His kingdom for them that would benefit and help them. And of course, verse number 21 gives us that insight into this mindset that the people had. But they were going along and they were rehashing all of these events that had taken place over the last week. And folks, I want to pause there to ask you a question. What type of things are we talking about in our conversations on a daily basis with other people? As we go about our business and conversations, what things are we talking about? You know, what are the current events in our own lives, the conversations that we have with other people? Well, I know for the last year, people have been talking about COVID. And I'm about sick of it, aren't y'all? You cannot turn the TV on without hearing in the first 2 or 3 minutes the word COVID. People were talking about vaccinations and of course, the tragedy of these deaths that have happened. And, you know, I've had to bury people with COVID. It's a horrible thing who have died from it. You know, that's part of our conversation a lot. How about politics? You know, there's been a big transition in politics over the last few months, and a lot of things are, you know, uncertain in our political environment right now. But whatever it is that we're talking about, we should also remember that our Lord Jesus Christ should always be part of our conversations. And we should always consider Him above all. I mean, we just celebrated this past Sunday the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I shared with my family and I've shared in church preaching that, you know, there's two things that are paramount and critical concerning the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the fact that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. Those are the two pillars that hold up our Christian faith, is the fact that He died and that He rose again from the dead. His death without His resurrection was meaningless. He was just a martyr. But the fact that He rose from the dead, that His sacrifice at Calvary was acceptable to God. He was the perfect Lamb of God. You remember when Jesus began His public ministry, what did John say? "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus did that at Calvary for you and I. Does the fact that Jesus Christ is alive have any bearing on the topics of our conversation in our normal lives from day to day? It should. It should, because Jesus is the good news, isn't He? He is the good news, even when there may be no good news around us that we can see if we're sitting down and watch the news or turn on the internet. Jesus is truly good news. That He died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, that's the gospel in a nutshell right there. But folks, it is times, or is during those times of confusion, when Jesus draws near to us. Just like He drew near to these two followers when we're hurting because of sickness or death or family problems or financial difficulties or problems with our job, problems at school. Jesus can always be found if we will but seek Him. Jesus drew near to these wounded, hurting believers. The Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus speaking, He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, the fact that Jesus has come, and He tells us that it encourages us to come to Him, that He is all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're to take His yoke upon us. The fact that we are to be able to learn from Him. And in the process of doing that, we see the fact that He is meek and lowly in heart. And we're able to benefit from that by finding rest unto our souls because of Him. Jesus loves us. He cares for us. He is concerned when we go through difficult times and seasons. And I've said this so many times throughout my ministry, that there's no problem that we don't go through that our Lord doesn't go through with us. You understand that? That He bears the burdens that we have. Any hardship or emotional or physical or spiritual pain that we have throughout our lives as a believer in Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ knows all about it because He's God. And there's nothing that we go through that He doesn't go through with us as a child by faith. We see something else, number two, that Jesus draws near to these hurting believers with concern, with concern. Notice verse number 15. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of conversation are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad?" So Jesus was wanting to know why they were so sad. But understand, folks, Jesus was God. And He is God. He knew exactly what they were going through. He knew the reason for their sadness. But He wanted them to share their burdens with Him. He wanted them to open up so that He could be able to help them. Folks, even today, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's with us. And He's always there to be able to hear what we have to say to Him. He's always concerned. Don't ever think that our Lord doesn't hear us or is not concerned, because that's a lie straight from the devil. When we start feeling sorry about ourselves, that nobody cares, nobody understands. But I'll tell you, one that always understands is the Lord. He always understands us. He's always there for us. He's made that promise that He would never leave us nor forsake us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, the Scripture says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, he says, "Pray without ceasing." Does that mean we're constantly going around mumbling to ourselves? No, it means that we can be in a state where we can come to God at any time in prayer with any need that we have, and He has promised that He'll hear us. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows the needs that we have as His children by faith. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all of our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. And folks, if we know that we have a Savior who's died for us and that loves us without measure, unconditionally, He may not love what we do, but He loves us. He may not love the sin, but He loves the sinner. Amen? And He cares for us more than you can possibly imagine. We know that He cares and He's concerned. We see something else, number three, that Jesus drew near to these hurting disciples with correction. With correction. I'm not going to take the time to read these several verses here, but what we see is Jesus listened to these disciples share their burden with Him. He just listened to it. He walked along and He listened. He let them get it all out. And then notice that Jesus begins to adjust their perspective because their vision is a little bit skewed. And He helps them to see things from a proper spiritual perspective. And He began to rebuke them. And then He asked them a question. Notice verse number 25 and 26. It says, "Then said He unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." There's your rebuke. He says, you're foolish because you don't believe what God's word has said concerning me. And notice what He says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" There's the question that He asked. And then notice in verse number 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning" who? Concerning Himself. So Jesus taught them about Himself. And there's a lot of Jesus in the Old Testament, isn't there? The Old Testament is full of the things about the Messiah. You know, many people want to divide the Old Testament and the New Testament. One's about an angry God who, you know, punishes His people all the time. And Jesus is all about love. But I'll tell you what, they're the same God. There is no difference between them. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Jesus Christ came that to be able to fulfill those things that were prophesied regarding Him in the Old Testament. He is the Redeemer. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Amen? Folks, as we pray and as we study the Word of God, on a regular basis, I hope. But folks, when we're going through those times of hardship, those times of uncertainty, when things don't make sense to us, there's no better time to get into the Word of God than at that time, isn't there? When we spend time in God's Word and grab hold tight of it in times of trouble, that's when Jesus really speaks to our hearts. And He helps us to be able to see things in a proper spiritual perspective. And He puts us on the right path that we need to follow. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about the need that not only Paul talking to Timothy, the need to study, but folks, that carries us over to us as well. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In that same book, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, "All scripture is given by" what? "Inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? "That the man or woman of God may be perfect." That doesn't mean without flaw or sin. It means teleos. That's the word. It means complete, well-rounded. So that we, as God's children, can be well-rounded and be profitable to the Lord as we're supposed to be as His children
by faith. So folks, as we stay in the Word of God and as we learn God's Word, as we study it, as we meditate, as we communicate with God through prayer, we understand. The Spirit of God begins to teach us and instruct us and correct us. We understand, we believe, and of course, we grow in our faith. Listen, there's no other time that we grow deeper in the roots of our faith than when we're going through hard times. When we're up on the mountaintop and everything's good and we're fat, dumb, and happy, that's not the time that we're truly growing spiritually, is it? It's when we're down in the valley. And when times are hard and we don't understand, and, you know, like Job, we look on the left hand, we can't see God. We look on the right hand, we can't see God. But I know that when He's finished with me, I'll come forth as gold. You know, it's through those valleys that we really grab hold of that anchor that holds us, doesn't it? And God uses those times of despair to be able to strengthen our faith. Because there's coming another wave upon us, isn't there? Where we're going to need God maybe even more. And we're going to need that foundation of our faith more secure than ever. And then there's going to come another wave, another storm in our life. Because our lives are full of storms, aren't they? We've either been through a storm, we're in a storm right now, or we're getting ready to go into a storm. So why wouldn't we, as God's child by faith, look to His Word and grab hold of that anchor tightly? Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But we know the Savior who knows what's going to happen to us tomorrow. Or the next day, or the next day. Folks, we need Him. So Jesus corrects these disciples. He corrects their thinking to help them understand from a spiritual perspective God's Word. Because God's Word is always the basis of knowing what we're to do and what we're to follow. God's Word is there for our faith and the practice of our faith as well. Notice number four. Jesus draws near with comfort. He doesn't just correct them and fuss at them and leave it at that. No, he wants to give them comfort as well. Notice verse number 28. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went on to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Notice in verse number 29, they constrained Jesus. Jesus was acting like he was going to go, keep going, keep walking, and, you know, they were going to fork off there at that time. But they wanted Jesus. They wanted more of Jesus. They wanted more fellowship with him. They wanted more understanding of what Jesus could give them. They wanted more enlightenment. And they wanted more truth than they had ever had in their whole lives. And only the one that was walking with them could give them that. Isn't that beautiful? The fact that these men didn't want Jesus to leave them. Have you ever been there before where you just didn't want to put God's Word down? You know, you didn't want to end that prayer, even though you know you had to. You just wanted to continue in communion with Him. I love what the Bible says, David sharing in Psalm 63, verse 1. He says this, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." You remember Jesus, when he was sharing in the Beatitudes, he talked about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Folks, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be hungry and thirsty after Him, where that we long for Him. We long for more understanding and fellowship, communion, enlightenment, truth that only He and His Word can provide for us. We're not going to find it anywhere else. Spending time with Jesus, folks, is the only way that we're going to get more of Him and to be able to be satisfied spiritually. You remember Jesus when He was met the woman by the well, and He said, you know, you can bring up this water and drink it, but you'll be thirsty again. But what I can give will be a well of water springing up, and you'll never grow thirsty if you drink from Me. I'm paraphrasing that, but Jesus is saying, I am the spiritual water that you need that will truly satisfy you. Notice something else in verse number 30 and 31, that Jesus opened their eyes. Jesus opened these disciples' eyes when He broke the bread. Now that could have been in conjunction or in partnership with the fact the way that He broke the bread, the prayer that He prayed. Maybe they saw as He was breaking that bread and praying, maybe they opened their eye up, and maybe they saw those pierced hands as He broke that bread. Whatever it was, these men's eyes were opened and they were fully able to comprehend, and they saw Jesus for who He was. They saw Him as the Messiah. They saw Him as their suffering servant. They saw Him as the Son of God. They saw Him as the risen Savior. And that's beautiful to be able to see. And you know, it's so ironic that the fact that Jesus had been walking for hours with these men and their eyes were whole, they couldn't see and understand. But when Jesus opened their eyes spiritually, they knew exactly who He was. And the Bible tells us that He vanished out of their sight. And I love what verse number 32 says. And He said unto they said, did not our heart burn within us as He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? That fellowship with the Lord. They had it. It was so sweet and precious. They didn't want to give it up. They wanted Him to stay with them through the night. These men were in a good place, a lot better than they were a few hours ago when they were leaving Jerusalem depressed and thought everything was just hopeless and helpless. Everything had changed for them when they met the Savior. And you know what, folks? Once we encounter the Lord, once we meet Him face to face, we're never the same. We can't be. You remember Moses, when he spent time with the Lord, all that time up on the mountain, the Bible tells us that when he came down from that mountain, that his face glowed. And he carried that for the rest of his life, and he had to wear a veil over his face because the people, it made him uncomfortable. He had so much of God on him that it made the people uncomfortable. But folks, that's what we need. We need God all over us, don't we? With as much of God as we can stand. But you know what? We're as close to God as we want to be. Nobody's keeping us away from God. Nobody's making us walk closely with Him, are they? We're as close to God as we want to be. And folks, I hope that you want to walk close with the Savior. But I love this verse number 32 for the fact that their hearts were burning. They were on fire for God, weren't they? And it was because of, number one, He was with them. That fellowship, that presence of Jesus with them. And He was sharing truth with them. And folks, we have access to both of those things through His precious Word that He's given us. And the opportunity we have to approach His holy throne in prayer. The Word of God and prayer are the access that we can have to God, which enables us to have a burning heart that is on fire for the Lord. And notice this motivation that followed this. They knew who he was. Their hearts were on fire. They rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Folks, it was like 7.5 hours. It was a long, long trip back, wasn't it? But they immediately got up. I know they turned into the inn. They were tired. But hey, that didn't matter to them. They wanted to go back all that distance, back to where the disciples were. And they shared what they knew. They couldn't contain themselves any longer. They had to go back. And they shared the truth. And notice this beautiful thing that they shared in verse number 34. The Lord is risen indeed. And what a beautiful cap on the resurrection, isn't it? The fact that the angel says that he is risen, he is not here. And then we have this beautiful picture that says, with this declaration by these two disciples, the fact that the Lord is risen indeed. Proof that changed the hearts of these two men. From discouragement and disappointment to and confusion to certainty and faith. Folks, that's what God can do for us, and that's what God desires to do in our lives and in our hearts. That we can be encouraged and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there ever been a time where you've realized that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved from your sin? Because Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's a truth, an absolute that we have in the Word of God. But have you called upon Jesus to be your personal Savior? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I want to also ask you, are you going through difficult times right now? Are the things in your life that you're struggling with, disappointment, disillusionment, chaos, confusion? Folks, Jesus will come to you. He's there for you. Call upon Him. Seek His face. And the Lord will give you guidance and direction through whatever difficult storm you're going through in your life. Understand, Jesus knows everything about you.